Mad Cessnat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. Doug Haller will jump on board on today's show on ASU and National Letter of Intent Day. We'll have Goody at the Movies on three movies, in fact. One of them just looks dreadful, 50 Shades Freed, The 517 to Paris, and Permission. That is all on today's show. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now. Guys, when was the last time you checked out life insurance? All you have to do is log on to Sagicor Now and get your free quote. Protect what matters most. Your family, that's where it's at. You've had changes in your life, and you're starting to look around saying, am I protected? Is my family protected? Go to Sagicor Now, Sagicor Now. We appreciate their support. All right, let's get started here with the Suns and last night. Today is the NBA trade deadline, by the way, and as we're sitting here, nothing from the Suns as of yet that is official. The Suns last night. So I started to watch some of the game. I was beat, to be honest with you. The last few days with Letter of Intent Day and college content, and it's a grind. And I just needed a mental break, and I figured, you know what? I'll watch some basketball tonight. I'll watch the Suns. This will be great. They're playing San Antonio. It's the day after they play the Lakers. The trade deadline is coming up. There's so much to be interested in. And before I knew it, the game had already started. Well, what I didn't know is the game was over before it even started. I had people texting me saying, nice showing by the Suns. It was like 38 to 15 or something by the time I got into it. And poor Dave Pasch and Doris Burke are doing the game on ESPN. And the game's over. And it ended up being the most lopsided loss in Suns history, tying a record from our hometown heroes on the hardwood that from the opening game of the season this year against Portland. A 48-point blowout loss. Now, of course, those who are into the timeline, those who are apologists for the Suns or whoever is on the payroll for the Suns, well, Devin Booker didn't play, and they had a game the night before in L.A. Come on, it's unrealistic. It's San Antonio. You know, nights like this happen. The Suns started a 24-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 22-year-old last night, which they did. So you need to be understanding and just understand this part of the timeline. May 27, 2010 is when my timeline started. So now here we are with the most embarrassing lopsided loss tied for the second time in 4 months in the history, 50-year history of this franchise last night. I don't care if it's San Antonio in February. Anytime you get embarrassed like this, it gets so tiring when people try to explain this away. You just have to be patient. And we have to trust what they're doing. No, what are you talking about? So last night was just another low of lows from our heroes on the hardwood. And I guess the good news is they're closer and closer to getting a very good draft pick. I want them to lose. If you're going to lose, I guess lose big. Maybe they should lose by 60 or 70. Just keep turning off the fan base. Maybe I'm a little bit bitter about this because they're so bad. Every night, they're not getting any closer, and people try to explain this away like, well, let's just go through this process. Let's go through this timeline, and it's the most nonsensical thing. Remember Trophy Guy, Eric? Remember when Trophy Guy popped up onto our radar screens here in the Valley when the Suns rolled that bad boy out?
I do. Those were good times.
Yeah.
Because the trophy was actually something that at that time was an attainable goal. Now the Suns are 9-20 at home after last night's loss.
Trophy Guy, to me, again, was one of the dumber things I've seen in history of Arizona sports since I've been here in 25-plus years. It's somebody in marketing saying, we're going to chase the trophies. Let's have a Trophy Guy because we don't want the focus to be solely on the Suns' gorilla. No, the gorilla's the mascot. Deal with it. So now we have somebody else sitting in a boardroom saying, hey, we're going to get a six-figure retainer to come up with the timeline.
Timeline Guy.
I mean, you didn't watch last night, did you?
I did not.
We were both beat up.
Very long day yesterday. Yeah, we both did.
We were beat up.
And I thought to myself, do I really need to watch Suns Spurs?
Seriously. So here's the thing. The Lakers just acquired. So this is how a team works. The Lakers just acquired Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye from Cleveland for Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. The Cavaliers are also sending a 2018 first-round pick to the Lakers. This is how it works when you are aggressive. You don't sit here and you just add kids and say, well, maybe we should increase the timeline. So let me get this straight. Cleveland is looking around saying, okay, Isaiah Thomas, there's a reason now Isaiah Thomas has been shipped around and shipped around and shipped around.
Man, he's been traded a lot.
Sacramento,
and I know recently,
to Phoenix.
I know recently he said, Brad, that he's sick of being traded and he didn't want to be traded. Guess what? Pack your bags.
I mean, there's got to be something there, Eric, on this one. This just came down from Woj. There's got to be something there with him. So Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye go to the Lakers for Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. Cleveland also sends the Lakers a 2018 first-round pick in the deal. The Suns, meantime, continue to just toil along with all these kids, and some of them don't know how to comport themselves as NBA players. Marquese Chriss, who I've said a long time ago, get him out of here. And Devin Booker, Scott Bordeaux and I are going to argue about this one until he signs or he leaves. I can't imagine someone like Devin Booker saying, I'm going to sign in Phoenix. Yeah, I'll get $50 million more to stay in Phoenix, but I'm going to continue to get my head kicked in every night. That kid strikes me as somebody who wants to win. And he would take much less to go elsewhere. The Lakers pull off this deal. And again, it points to, in my view, a team that is being aggressive, that is not just sitting back adding kid after kid after kid because they stink every year. That is what has gone on here in Phoenix. Honestly, well, it's great to have Devin Booker. It's great to have Josh Jackson. You have Josh Jackson purely because you weren't good last year. It's great to add pieces through drafting, but eventually you don't want these top three, top five, top eight, top 15 picks. You want to be closer to the bottom. And these guys, because we're going on 8 years of missing the playoffs, I see Jerry West is trying to do a deal with DeAndre Jordan, and he wants draft picks back from Cleveland. It's because Jerry West is brilliant. Jerry West said, Blake Griffin, you're out of here. I'm sending you to Detroit. We're doing a teardown, and we're going to be back, and we're going to be relevant within a couple of years. Here, it's on 8 years. So on the trade deadline today, well, there really wasn't much out there. I mean, maybe they do part with a part. Maybe they do get rid of one of their vets. It's just spinning wheels while other teams are aggressive. Other teams make moves. This trade did not hurt the Lakers today. This is not a teardown. They see we've got a nucleus in place. We've got Ingram. We've got Randall. We've got Lonzo. We need a little bit of veteran stuff around here. Here, Devin's hurt. Josh Jackson's playing better, and it's why it's gone on 8 years. It's going to be 10 years. So one big trade down, it involves the Lakers. Of course it involves the Lakers getting better while the Suns sit here and spin their wheels. I'm going to get into Herm Edwards after this timeout. Stay with us. So yesterday, National Letter of Intent Day wrapped up, and staff did great yesterday. And it was our busiest day in the history of the site since we started doing this. So it was obviously people love the content, the deep dives, everything around the players. It is our Super Bowl, one of our Super Bowls. We have many of them here on the site. But thanks to all of you. Yesterday, terrific day. Biggest day in the history of the company in terms of people coming in and checking out, which is awesome. We are self-funded. We appreciate those who take the time to say, we believe in what you're doing, and we want to be involved with you. So we appreciate those of you that do that. Now I want to turn over to ASU. We'll have Doug Haller here in about 10 minutes. ASU basketball tonight against USC. I think the more interesting game for me is watching DeAndre Ayton against UCLA tonight. This is not a full UCLA team, but I will be watching both of the games tonight. In terms of yesterday being letter of intent day at Arizona State, so Eric, you were out there. It was like they kept pushing it back. Like it was supposed to be 1:30, then it went to 3:30, which is fine. They're getting letters in and all that. You and I have been talking for several weeks on the show that we did not want it to be the usual love fest of we couldn't believe this kid was here. He's the greatest thing ever. He's a superhero and all that nonsense. Was there still that yesterday? Because you have to give the positives. I understand that.
Of course. Every class is the best class in ASU history.
Of course it is. Every school across the country yesterday, greatest group of players ever. Couldn't believe they were there.
We addressed needs.
Yeah.
We got better today.
We got better. What were the other catchphrases?
Those are the two that I really remember.
Were the line of questions around why aren't there more in-state kids, were those asked as usual?
There was a couple questions about the in-state kids. Because I think Chris Cartman, our friend from SunDevilSource.com, had on Twitter yesterday, for the first time in a few decades, Arizona State did not land a top 10 player from the state of Arizona.
This is not a great year, though. I mean, there were some great players here, but I felt as though, just talking with Jason, you, Jordan, coaches that are out there, there were maybe 5-6 players that were at the top of the heap, and then there was the big drop-off. So, and a lot of them, they were never in on Tyler Shuck. They didn't make the time. They were never in on Brock Purdy. They didn't make the time. So it wasn't that they were passed over. They just didn't go after them. It's a big difference.
And it's both schools, Arizona and Arizona State, both transitioned, obviously, into new head coaches. So
yeah.
For me, everyone sort of gets a mulligan this year.
I'm more into the backstories rather than, wow, they got all these kids. Because you and I both know, if we sat here and pulled up the 2014 ASU recruiting class, like three quarters of the players are gone. That's just how it is in recruiting. But so Herm was fine yesterday. Was he feisty? Was it the usual, gunfire coming from Herm?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said yesterday that the thing he does best is communicate. And he clearly communicated all of his thoughts to the media as only Herm Edwards can. You ask a question, and 2.5 minutes later, the answer that he gives you is so succinct. And to me, Herm Edwards would be a great actor. And I'm not saying
Is that a slam?
I'm not.
I'm just wondering. Go ahead and explain yourself. Go ahead. He'd be a great actor in what way? In what way?
This is me being like a head coach in a non-recruiting period. I'm going dark. I'm going silent.
I'm just saying that
because he was a broadcaster, because he worked for ESPN, because he has such a big personality, sometimes it can come across as being a little rehearsed.
I use calculated.
Or calculated.
I thought when he was here in studio with us, there was a little bit of calculation. I like that. And it's not a slam on your part or my part. It's just, that's what it is with coaches. If you guys think it's all X and O's at this point, most head coaches are there to get you excited to write them a check and answer questions of the media, and they trust their assistant coaches. There's very little coaching that really goes on from a head coach anymore. There's too many other demands. You got crazy booster over here that doesn't feel like they've gotten enough attention, and they got to go talk to them, and that stuff's happening everywhere. Here is some of from yesterday from Herm Edwards. Here is Herm Edwards talking about how recruiting has really changed. This was yesterday, the head coach at Arizona State.
Recruiting has changed tremendously, and I was asking Danny, he's been doing this 19 years, and he tells me, head coach, in the last 5 years, it's even gotten even more expanded. And, working at ESPN, you see it, coaching the Under Armour game. In the first quarter, kids would go up in the stands, and they'd have the hats on, and I would kind of laugh at it a little bit, look at this. This has really become a pageantry deal, and I think a lot of people are out there now that are, quote, unquote, gurus of the scouting world. Everyone has an opinion, and they have all these people that are giving you a grade. It's like the NFL, when the draft's over with, everybody rushes to the newspaper. Did I get an A grade? Did I get a B grade? Did I get a C grade? We'll get graded. That's fine. We'll get graded on wins and losses. That's what you get graded on at the end. And so it all looks good first day. So who won the draft? Who won scouting? Who's the five top teams? I get all that. At the end, how many games can you win? We went after players that we think that can help us and upgrade us. Now we got coaching.
All right, so there's Herm Edwards. There's a map that we have. Do we have the map? The map is of all the places where they ended up getting the players from. And so you see the emphasis there of the parts of the country. And I'll give them a lot of credit here. Putting together a recruiting class, as Eric referred to, it's not easy. And when you have that, you could put it up, go ahead, Edwin, put it back up for a second. When you put it up there and you see the amount of players from California and Texas, that's where they need to be. And that Arizona map, you see two players that are listed there. I think those two, that number needs to be probably around 5 or 6. You don't need to go get 10 from Arizona. If you get 10 from Arizona, I don't think there's 10 high-end players every year here yet. Coaches may disagree with me. They may think their player is high-end. But even looking towards next season, we can start turning the page now to next season, and they've already been out offering players and looking at players in the next class. Now that Kevin Sumlin is here in state and Herm is here in state, I don't want to say that Rich and Todd got stale in terms of the message and the recruitment, but high school coaches felt as though there just wasn't a whole lot of attention. I'll give you an example. So Perry High School, where Brock Purdy is, and you guys know I've done Brock Purdy ad nauseum here because I truly believe in his story. And the New York Times felt enough to do a piece on it yesterday nationally. I rest my case. They have three, four more players that are coming through the pipeline. They've got a quarterback that's coming up who's just a sophomore who's going to be maybe just as good as Brock. It's his little brother. And I feel as though what I've heard is ASU's not gone out there before. Well, Herm showed up on campus there a couple of weeks ago. The coaches have gone out and they've touched base with 80 high schools. I'm sure Kevin Sumlin's going to say the same thing. Both these coaches do need to close the borders off. I think it's easy to say, yeah, make sure that you don't let any players leave the state of Arizona. My point of view, a lot of kids want to get away from home. A lot of kids want to get out of here. So I'm not as wound up about that. It's the right players. It is the highest of high-end ones that you've got to get on campus. And from my knowledge, that just simply didn't happen. We'll talk more about that on the other side with Doug Haller. Doug Haller from AZ Central Sports is next. We'll talk about ASU basketball and football and his view of yesterday. Plus, Goody at the Movies, all on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. 60AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. It is a good Thursday. All things around ASU now. A little bit about U of A, too, because Doug Haller has been bouncing back and forth between the Wildcats and Sun Devil basketball teams. Big weekend ahead with USC, with ASU tonight, and, of course, down in Tucson, UCLA, and the Wildcats. But first, let's talk recruiting. So letter of intent day comes with Herm Edwards, and I'm curious on your end, as he spoke yesterday, some of his comments were very amusing. Are we sensing a lessening of friction from Sun Devil Nation towards this hire now that it's, 45 days in? First and foremost, Doug, from your point of view.
Well, hi, Brad. I think nationally there's still kind of, I don't know if friction is the right word, but still I think people are looking at this with amusement. But I think among the fan base, it's more of curiosity. And part of it is because of, just Herm being Herm, doing all those national interviews on ESPN leading up to signing day, going on and on about how different recruiting is from the NFL as far as in college players choose the school and the NFL teams choose the players. That doesn't go over well because, you want, as a fan, you want somebody who, kind of understands how everything works. But, you got to give them credit. I mean, throughout all of this, even the first signing day, they held on to more commitments than I thought they would. Mm-hmm. I think they had 11 then, a lot of them on the defensive side, and they didn't even have a defensive coach in place. And then, they closed really well, better than I thought they would, better than a lot of people thought they would. So, given the circumstances, a lot of these guys weren't even in Tempe a little over 2 months ago, to the fact that you went from 12th in the Pac-12 in the recruiting rankings to about midway, about fifth. That's not bad for your first class.
Okay. What about the national makeup and the states that they went into and the emphasis on California? I know he talked about getting into double digits over there. Here in the state, I didn't think it was a great year in terms of depth of big-time talent, although there's still too many players leaving. I don't know if that's ever going to change, but I'm curious about the makeup nationally of this class from your point of view.
Well, California was a priority. Obviously, California was the reason that, Todd Graham is no longer coach of this football team. So that was something that was spelled out, not only from Ray Anderson, but even you know, in when Michael Crow notified the Board of Regents that he was making a change, that was actually in his letter to them that they needed to do better recruiting, particularly in the state of California. So I think that's encouraging. You know, I wasn't surprised that they didn't make a bigger splash in the state, because so much of that is, you know, based on, you know, familiarity and relationships and all that. And so I wasn't surprised at that. So I think if you're going to go for your first class, if you're going to go heavy in California, I think that's fine. We'll see. Only four junior college guys. You know, sometimes when you take over, you know, you have to load up on them to fill immediate holes. They didn't do that. I think they, you know, their biggest needs obviously were the offensive line. I talked to Herm maybe a month ago now, and, you know, he said that was his biggest concern. And of course, from the get-go, I felt like they had to upgrade the defense. And who knows if any of those guys that they brought in will pay off next year. I think Danny Gonzalez yesterday, the defensive coordinator, said the most important thing at the press conference, saying that if they have to rely on a lot of these guys next season, then they're doing something wrong. Mm. But down the line, some of those guys look like they could help out. So we'll see. You know, I've always said, you know, with Herm, I can't wait to see him on the practice field in spring practice, because then I think all this will make sense, a little more sense. Because right now, every time I've been around him, I've always come away with the impression that, man, this guy is really learning. You know, he's really behind and he's really trying to catch up. And I don't think he's trying to hide that. I don't think he's trying to fake it. I think he's just being honest. But I feel like once they get on the practice field in the spring, that maybe we'll see, like, okay, now I understand this a lot more.
How much of it do you think is calculated, Doug, with Herm? I had him in studio a couple weeks ago, and he wanted to go down the line of the great coaches that are in the Pac-12. And I mentioned, he went through Chris Peterson and Coach Shaw. And I said, yeah, and Herm Edwards, who was in the, no. I'm just kind of here off the side. How much of this is calculated, just media play?
That's a good question. I think some of it, I think, given his background, what he's been doing at ESPN, I think a lot of it comes from that. You know, I was thinking, just driving back from the press conference the other day, I'm like, man, I can't yet envision, Brad, what it's going to be like dealing with him every day after practice. Is it always going to be kind of, you know, is he always going to be kind of talking in sound bites, or because that's all we've seen so far.
Right.
And, you know, and I just was like thinking, like, what's it going to be every day asking him about, you know, the battle for, you know, the second team right guard spot? I don't know the answer to that yet, but I do think right now a lot of it is just, I don't want to say a showmanship type thing, but, you know, he that's his strength and he's playing to it right now. And mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing he has to fall back on. So I think as we move along, now I will say I was surprised that when I sat down with him last month after we've gone through the initial press conference and the signing day press conference, he was still kind of talking that way. I was surprised. I thought he would, you know, settle more into coach role, but he hadn't yet. Maybe he won't. Maybe that's just always going to be the public face that he shows. I hope not, because I think it will get old. I think fans will see through that and want to see more of, you know, who he is as a person, as a coach. Maybe he's like that all the time. I don't know him well enough yet to answer that, but I do think that fans want to see a different side of him.
Talking about Doug Haller, AZ Central, ASU insider on things around ASU. I don't want to get too specific in terms of positions. However, at quarterback, Manny Wilkins, from my view, has not won games and has not lost games. Blake Barnett makes 8 good throws, makes 2 or 3 bad throws from what I'm hearing. You're out there every day. Brady White transfers out of the program. Ryan Kelly, we're not quite sure where he is in all this. And Dylan Sterling Cole. From my view, they have an issue in their quarterback room in terms of depth that they should be able to go out and chase a 5-star or top junior college guy next year. Were you surprised with their recruiting of quarterback yesterday?
No, not given where they started from. I do agree with you that I share the same concerns about depth. I think they made, you know, I thought it was interesting just even going back when Herm, you know, I think his first press conference, he mentioned Manny as a starter. And I think people who have followed the program have always been waiting for Brady White to finally get healthy to see what he can do.
Right.
Not to say that Brady would have put, you know, taken the job for Manny, but I think Brady would have pushed Manny. I felt like if Brady was healthy last year, Brady would have pushed Manny. But, you know, the fact that I felt like Brady leaving the program was a big loss.
Yes,
for them.
Yes, I agree.
Even if he did have to sit out or wait another year for Manny to finish his eligibility, I felt like it was a big loss I wasn't surprised that they didn't bring in somebody. It's going to be obviously a priority for next year because, you know, they're going to have to bring in somebody. But, you know, outside of Manny, you know, Blake, you're right. I mean, you kind of summed him up there. I mean, he was hot and cold, really more cold than hot during the parts of practice that we saw him. And, you know, he has a lot of things going on off the court. I don't want to, or off the field, I don't want to question his dedication or anything. But, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds and who will be the number two and how that will shake out going into the fall preseason camp.
Flip over to basketball. If they can't get an inside game, and I say they, Bobby Hurley's team's going to be done by second week of March, right? Is that pretty much sum it up? Because this living by the three, dying by the three thing, that's what it's come down to from my view.
No, I agree with you. It hurts them more defensively. I think it does offensively. But, you know, it's very exciting especially when you're hitting threes like they were earlier in the year. It's a very exciting style of play. And you know, those three senior guards, you know, they were playing at a very, very high level in November and early December. And, you know, it's kind of the law of averages. It's balanced out a little bit. But, you know, when you can't get the ball inside and score inside. And the big thing is just getting to the foul line. They've been good at that all year anyway, but you know, you need to get your bigs involved and, you know, that's been a problem for them, but I really think it's just killed them on the defensive end. It seems like every night, you know, an opposing big has a career night against them, whether it's a starter, someone like Noah Dickerson from Washington or someone like Jace Johnson or at Utah. It's just been, you know, someone, Marcus Lee had a big night at Cal. It just seems like that every night they just give up so much inside. And you know, if you're hitting your threes, you can overcome that. If you're not, it makes it very difficult.
You've seen DeAndre Ayton in person. And for U of A, they have UCLA tonight. Just back on ASU before I get over to Ayton, just a thought real quick here. It's a big three games for them, right? If you go 2-1, that's great. You go 1-2, you go 0-3, come on. Right, so let's just get to that, and then I'll get to eight. And your view of these next three with USC, UCLA, and U of A all at home.
Yeah, well, they've kind of put themselves in position that they're in right now. I mean, if splitting on the road as they have done, that's perfectly fine in this conference, even though it is down this year. But you know, the losing the two games at home to Oregon and Utah, not good, obviously. And now they're in a situation that, you know, they've probably faced the toughest three games that they're going to play in the conference. And fortunately for them, they're all at home. But, you know, they're not playing well right now. If you look at ASU, if you look at their resume, they're without question an NCAA tournament team despite their conference record right now. But if you watch them on the court, you know, they're a bubble team. You know, they haven't played well in a while. Even the games that they have won. You know, Washington State, you know, it's back and forth in the second half. That Washington State's terrible. That should not have happened. Cal, Cal's not good, and they kind of struggle to put them away. So now you're in a situation where you have two teams that have to win. They are on the bubble, and, you know, ASU has that target on their back because they have a good RPI, and, you know, that win on the road in Tempe is really going to help USC's resume. It's really going to help UCLA's resume, and, of course, Arizona's Arizona. So, this is a big stretch for them. I don't, you know, people are saying they're not going to make the tournament. Their resume is strong. All their computer numbers, their RPI, their KenPom numbers, they're all good. But if they continue losing, especially at home, it has the potential to put them on the bubble.
Okay, about 30 seconds left in the segment. Give me a thumbnail on DeAndre Ayton. You've seen a lot of basketball at the college level through the years, through your work. Where do you put Ayton in terms of bigs?
Well, I mean, he's at the top. I mean, offensively, you're not going to find anybody better. I don't like to see him out there shooting three-pointers, but, you know, 15 to 17 feet, I would let him take those all day. You know, the big thing is you know, Washington, at Washington, Noah Dickerson, who's just, you know, an average inside player, just went right at him, and, you know, U of A couldn't stop him. So, obviously, defensively, he's made strides, Brad, from where he was earlier this year. He's done a little bit better in pick and roll situations, but that's going to be the big question going for him going into this year and then going into the draft is what he can do on the defensive end, because his offensive game, and is with most of the case with guys his size and his age, is way ahead of his defense right now, and his defense has a long ways to go.
Hey, congratulations on the award. You can share that with people.
Yeah, it's an organization, a national organization that every year they they pick state writers or sports writers of the year in each state, and I was fortunate enough they picked me this year. So I was very honored, and I know there are a lot of deserving people throughout the state, down in Tucson in the Phoenix market. So it's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah, good for you. Congratulations on that. Thanks for being with us today.
No problem, Brad. Anytime.
Doug Haller with us. AZ Central covers ASU, covers U of A on the college end of things, both on the football and basketball side for both ASU and U of A. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Susmat. Because you know what is going on in the world of sports, it is time to get you ready for the movies this weekend. It is Bill Goodykuntz, film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. Goody at the Movies. How are you today?
I got a cold a little bit. I've had a cold for a few days. So if you hear a coughing fit, don't be alarmed.
If it's five coughs, that means it's a good movie. If it's zero coughs, it means don't go see it. How's that? We'll do the cough meter today. It's like the bucket of popcorn. When I see anything that starts with 50 Shades, I want to puke on my shoes. So we're going to start with 50 Shades Freed. Am I just the only one that doesn't get it? I'm not the audience. Valentine's weekend. What are they looking for? Female 39 to 45 something. I mean, am I the wrong demo for this movie, Bill?
Well, you're the wrong demo for this movie because you like good movies. And I hope that you're wearing I hope you're wearing old shoes. It's awful. I mean, it's as bad as the other two, but at least it's over. Is my feeling about it. The thing is, Dakota Johnson is actually a good actress. The other guy, Dornan is a good actor, but they're horrible together. I think that I wrote that they retain the chemistry of two mannequins knocked together in a storage closet or something. And the thing is, they're very attractive. I mean, he's good looking, she's good looking. I feel like what he does between movies is nothing but sit ups and crunches, And then she's certainly nice looking, and you see a lot of her, and you see a lot of him. But the thing is, this is, in theory, it's based on these really crappy erotic novels. But the sex part in these is just boring. And part of it is because they just don't seem to have any chemistry whatsoever. And the other part is they play it really safe in terms of what, if you're going to do this, you probably ought to do it right. But I will tell you this. They posted my review. I posted, you'd say, are you in the wrong demo? Sometimes I wonder if I am. My review went up, and I immediately heard from whoever NJL423 is. Nancy seems to be her name. And she says, you are a small-minded, nasty person. The love story of Christian and Anastasia is beautiful. But I guess if you're only thinking of it as a sex movie, you wouldn't get it. Well, it is a sex movie. It's based on erotic novels. But anyway, that being the case, does your hate stem from the fact that strong women wrote the successful trilogy? Well, no, that's not. I think if she's read anything I've written, I certainly support strong women doing great things. And by the way, James, the woman who wrote the books, was around, and they got rid of the first director and screenwriter. Her husband took over the screenwriting duties for the next two movies. So, they've made increasingly less money. I don't know if anybody still cares about it. I think they, at some point, I think, you can only sell people a bill of goods for so long.
All right. I've not heard you this fired up in a long time. And it's great. It's great. Let's move over to the 1517 to Paris. Seen this trailered all over. It was during the Super Bowl. It's been run down my throat. Is this any good?
It's awful. And I just feel like, I'm just bursting people's dreams here this week. The erotic fantasy lady who thinks that this is like a good, wholesome romance, she got that wrong. What's wrong in this movie is Clint Eastwood, who's a really good director. He's got Oscars for directing, and he deserved them. He's good. He cast the real people who did this heroic action in the movie. He's on this kind of like American hero cycle here, where he did the American Sniper movie, he did Sully, you know, now he's got these guys. Look, and you feel a little bit like you're kicking somebody's puppy when you even dare to criticize this. But, well, look, what these guys did was heroic. There's a train going to France. They're on it. They acted, you know, incredibly bravely. I mean, like, literally running in the face of fire to, like, stop this guy, which they did. There is no question how great an act that is. It doesn't make them actors. And if you want to have a documentary, then do that, and they can be great in that. You know, they probably would be. I don't understand the logic of putting them in the movie, because there are other real actors in this movie. Jenna Fischer is great. A lot of comic actors, you know, Tony Hale, Thomas Lennon, people that you see from comedies doing these dramatic roles. It's a mystery to me, and I'm disappointed that it's not better.
All right, you're 0 for 2 on movies this weekend. How about Permission? We'll finish with that. Got about 2 minutes. Permission.
It's actually pretty good.
There you go.
It's a story that you've seen a million times. It's like Rebecca Hall and Dan Stevens, who are great British actors, who of course play Americans here, but they're fantastic. So it's always, you know, they really elevate it. But they're going to get married. They've never slept with anybody else, and her brother's boyfriend says, you can't get married without at least, you know, seeing what else is out there. So, and you know exactly what's going to happen. Is that at first they're like, no, he's crazy. Well, you know, have you thought about that? Yeah, maybe we should try that. And so, like, they try it. The difference in this movie is a couple things. One is the level of acting is just way higher than it usually is in stuff like this. The other is that Rebecca Hall's character, usually it's the guy who's sort of the hound out there, you know, on the hunt. It turns, she takes the real lead in doing this. And she wants to do it. And it turns out that, I mean, if you don't think that they realize that they've been unsatisfied, you've probably never been to a movie before. it's a pretty well-acted take on an old, you know, just an old premise.
That's good.
It's not great, but, hey, it's better than the other stuff. And there ain't even football this weekend. So.
That's right. I'll let you go off that. I like you like this. You need to have coughs more often. A little fiery there, too.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe sickness becomes me.
There you go. There's Bill Gutekunst, Goody at the Movies. Appreciate Bill being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Edwin Rodriguez is our chairman of the board today. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. Our television show is on tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. All things around the recruiting period being finished up on this week's episode. I think you'll really like it. Check it out. Good stuff from top to bottom. Have yourself a great day.